Chapter 20. Sunday, May 8th, 0011, New Era. 0136 hours. A wail reverberated from the walls of room 14 and its occupants were brutally awakened. Half of the room lurched upright. Travis groaned and slammed his head against his pillow.
Not this tonight.
The floor trembled and the operative's eyes flew open. Delina screamed and shot up from her bunk.
This is real!
His heart pounding, Scott shot a glance at Galina, then to the wall. Shouts rang out from the neighboring room. Baranov leapt to his feet.
Everyone up. This is not a drill.
The room burst to life as the operatives dove out of bed and scrambled to their closets. Within seconds, Clark's voice crackled over room 14's loudspeaker.
Ivan, please get everyone up. We've got something serious.
Everyone is up.
The operatives threw on their combat armor. Assault rifles and handguns were ripped from the weapons locker. Another explosion shook the earth. Clark burst into the room just as everyone was loading their weapons.
Ears, everyone!
They turned to face him.
Communications are haywire. All we know is that Barkma have landed on the airstrip. Numbers are not verified, though we have confirmed that no boats are on the ground.
Scott and David exchanged nervous looks as Clark continued.
The entire base is under attack. We have to defend this facility. Come, please. Time is critical.
It took no second order. The 14th rushed from the safety of room 14 into the hallways. Operatives from other units bumped past Scott as a throng of Eden soldiers flooded from the barracks. No boats. On the ground, if they had landed undetected, there was no telling how many there were. As Scott was jostled toward the exit, his mind raced to speculate what the situation was. When he and the others emerged outside, it became clear. Far from the barracks, in the direction of the airstrip, plasma fire lit the sky. Orange plumes exploded against the hangars as the sounds of total warfare ripped apart the night. Units and individual operatives stampeded ahead.
This is not good,
Travis said as he reached for his handgun. Before anyone else could comment, a platoon of Bachma emerged west of the barracks. As soon as the first wave of plasma seared by, Clark swiveled around and dropped to a knee. The rest of the 14th returned fire. Fractured chatter burst through Clark's comm, and he ducked out of the fight. Baranov and Dostoevsky took his place at the lead. Scott fired a shot, and a Bachma fell. Two more alien platoons emerged from beyond the cafeteria. Another explosion rocked the hangar. Human screams filled the air. As Scott trained down his E-35, he swung to Fox.
How many do you think there are?
I don't know, and I don't like not knowing.
Clark returned to the unit.
Attention, everyone. Here is the situation. Approximately 30 no-boats have materialized on the airstrip. Four additional Bachma carriers are en route.
Four carriers. Scott couldn't believe it. This wasn't an attack. This was an invasion. Clark continued.
We're to dispatch an away team to confinement. They believe that the Bachma will attempt to free some of the prisoners.
Clark faced Dostoevsky.
Yuri, you shall lead the defense effort there. Take Travis and Beckin. Two other teams are en route to that location as well, but right now we're the closest.
Dostoevsky motioned to Beckin and Travis. The three men pulled out of the fight.
Jurgen,
Clark said to David.
You and Boris make your way to the infirmary. They're attempting an evacuation. You're all I can spare.
David looked at Boris and the two men left immediately.
Everyone else avert to the airstrip.
Bachma surged down the airstrip like a plague. As Eden forces merged to intercept them, floods of plasma crashed their way. Grizzly APCs burned in their dens. Vindicator fighters were blasted to death before they could leave the ground. Charred pieces of armor and flesh fell amid the concrete. Far in the night sky, the lights of four Bachma carriers grew larger among the stars. Alien confinement was at the center of the research center, which was in the center of Novosibirsk. Beckin had never seen confinement before. Standard operatives weren't supposed to. Dostoevsky yelled back to Beckin and Travis, urging them to keep up.
Run faster!
Bachma emerged as they ran, though the stronghold of Eden operatives was enough to hold them at bay. The research center loomed ahead. As soon as they reached it, Dostoevsky propelled himself up the outer stairs of the building, where he jerked the door open.
Inside, go!
Where's confinement?
Beckin asked, dashing up the stairs. Dostoevsky pointed down the hall as he passed through the door.
This way, follow.
Sirens pulsed through the research center as clusters of scientists elbowed their way to the exit. The doors to confinement were midway between the hall and the far corner. Dostoevsky pointed.
Ahead! Watch for!
Two Bachma emerged from the end of the hall. Dostoevsky flipped out his handgun and launched four shots, two for each chest. The Bachma were thrust against the wall and scraped to the floor.
For resistance!
They reached the doors a moment later. Beacon and Travis prepped themselves at Dostoevsky's side.
Open on three.
Beacon angled against the doors as Travis hung back.
One, two, three!
The doors whisked open and Dostoevsky darted inside. Four scientists, two men and two women, were huddled behind a workstation.
Down!
The scientists ducked out of view. Beacon followed Dostoevsky into the room, gaping at what he saw there. Five cells ran along the back wall, and a cell was on each side. Transparent impact glass covered them. Everything was stark white. Four of the cells were inhabited. In the first was a Ceratopean warrior, the first Beacon had ever seen. It was as large as rumor claimed as it towered in the cell. Its golden scale-covered skin led to its prehistoric head. A bone-plated frill lined with spikes crested over its skull and arched up. Twin horns protruded from its forehead as a third smaller horn jetted from its nose. Its brown penetrating eyes narrowed and it bellowed.
Bloody God!
In the next cell, two Atheni were pressed against the shielding, their opaque eyes watchful of the new action. Next, there crouched a necrolid. Though the creature was motionless, the glass was ravaged with claw marks. Two cells down stood three Bachma officers. The Ceratopean rammed its horned frill into the glass and growled. Dostoevsky took position outside the double doors.
Confinement isolated,
he said through the comm. Clark heard the transmission as soon as he reached the airstrip.
Brilliant,
he answered as he took position behind a dismantled Grizzly APC.
The other teams should be reaching you shortly.
Scott followed behind Clark, and the no-boat fleet came into view. The airstrip was an enemy fortress. Plasma bolts and plasma missiles soared from the invaders as Eden soldiers flooded the area around the hangar. The hangar itself was engulfed in fire. Bodies spilled across the ground. On the other end of the airstrip, behind the no-boats, the Bachma carriers descended. Scott stared in awestruck amazement. How had this happened? How could a whole fleet appear out of nowhere? Were the invaders really that superior? There was no time to think about answers and less time to think about questions. Scott dropped to a knee at the corner of the Grizzly, propped up his assault rifle, and opened fire. Clark swung around to Galena and Barbara.
Tend to the wounded.
Then to Fox and Jaden.
Find height and engage.
The four carriers touched down, and he looked at Scott.
When those transports open, this is going to get considerably more difficult.
You mean this isn't difficult?
David and Boris arrived at the infirmary just as the attack began. A squad of Eden soldiers held off the Bachma forces that threatened, though they were outnumbered threefold. The evacuation of the infirmary was in progress as surgeons and nurses dodged past David and Boris, wheeling the bedded patients in their care. Some unattended patients crawled from their beds and hobbled away from the fight themselves. Explosions boomed behind the building and the earth shook. Grabbing the nearest surgeon, a heavyset man with a patient in a cart, David asked,
"What do you need?"
The surgeon pointed to the patient.
I could use one more person for this one.
He motioned to the center of the infirmary.
But they need more help than I do.
David said to Boris,
I'll help in the infirmary. You help him, then come back to me.
Boris nodded and grabbed the cart. Bachma attackers grunted down the halls of the research center. Dostoevsky readied his position in the hallway.
They're coming,
he said to Beacon and Travis. Beacon took to Dostoevsky's side and propped himself into a ready position.
Travis, watch our backs.
Kneeling behind them, the pilot aimed his assault rifle at the research center's entrance. The four scientists brandished handguns and took a defensive formation inside confinement. The Bachma grew louder down the hallway as their footsteps clotted against the floor. Dostoevsky's glare focused on the corner.
Get ready.
A Bachma attacker burst into view. Dostoevsky triggered his handgun and the alien fell. Two more Bachma leaned their plasma rifles around the corner and opened fire. Dostoevsky flinched as the shots careened against the walls.
We got backup,
Travis yelled. Beacon looked back where four Eden soldiers charged into the research center. The Bachma fired around the corner again. Dostoevsky, Beacon, and Travis ducked in avoidance, then dashed into confinement. The Eden soldiers returned fire in the hallway, then followed inside behind them.
What unit are you in?
The 21st, Commander.
A plasma bolt whizzed past Dostoevsky's head. He singled off a shot with his handgun and cut the attacker down.
How many more are coming?
We are it.
A team of Bachma broke through the research center's main entrance. Dostoevsky ducked into confinement to avoid the crossfire.
We cannot hold the doorway,
Dostoevsky said as he leaned out and returned fire.
They will press here soon.
Behind them, the necrolith came to life. Its claws and fangs collided into the glass shield as it lurched forward with primal aggression. Dostoevsky sunk back into confinement to reload. A scientist replaced him in the doorway. One of the Eden soldiers fell dead. Dostoevsky panned to the computer console inside the room. He slid behind it, and his fingers worked the controls.
Hold them off a little longer!
Baranov growled as a plasma bolt ripped through his shoulder. He took cover behind a chunk of debris and reloaded his assault rifle. His shoulder bled through the twist in his armor, though he moved unhindered. Across the airstrip, the Bachma carriers opened their doors. Slamming a new clip into his assault rifle, Scott called out,
"Here they come!"
Bachma poured from the carriers.
Now it's going to get difficult.
The Bachma charged forth like hell-sent marauders. Flashes of orange and yellow reflected in their eyes as the alien war cries filled the air. As they stormed at the airstrip, the barrels of their plasma guns flared with fire. Jaden and Fox were situated atop a guard tower where they rained precision fire into the impending throng. The tower was 2 stories tall, and the height of the rim around it provided them with duck-behind cover. Jaden's eyes narrowed as he pulled the trigger. A Bachma dropped to the ground. Fox slid his scope over the carriers, where several Kenrassis lumbered down the ramps. Atop them, riders manned their mounted plasma cannons.
Kenrassis,
Fox said as he took aim for one of the riders' heads. He snapped off a shot, and the Bachma toppled to the ground.
I've got these. Keep track below.
I'm on them.
From the cover of the dismantled Grizzly, Scott fired with abandon. He, Clark, and Kevin unloaded their ammunition on the battlefield, though it made not a dent. There were too many Bachma. When one fell, 2 others took its place. As Scott reached down to grab a fresh clip, a loud whiz reached his ears. He knew the sound immediately, a plasma missile. Before he could whip up his head to find it, the nose of the Grizzly exploded. It lurched upward. The 3 men scattered as it crashed upside down against the earth. Clark and Scott dashed behind a barricade while Kevin retreated toward the engulfed hangars. Scott dove for cover, knelt down, and turned to the hangar. Kevin ran full speed toward it. There were flashes of white. A barrage of plasma struck Kevin in his side. He fell to his knees. Scott jumped to his feet, but it was too late. A plasma bolt tore through Kevin's helmet, and his body flopped to the ground. Scott stared in silence as Clark reloaded behind him.
He's dead. There's nothing we can do.
The infirmary was chaos. David assisted the aide as best he could, though with the constant flow of doctors, nurses, and patients, it was just as hard to keep up with her as it was to evacuate her patients. In the midst of the bustle, David's eyes caught sight of a familiar face. Max. The newly christened lieutenant struggled to wrench free from a nurse as he tried to push himself up from a wheelchair. David abandoned the aide and rushed to Max's side.
Action! What are you doing?
Not being a gutless wonder.
He shoved to his feet against the nurse's demands. He swept his hand to David's belt where he snatched David's handgun from its holster.
I need armor, and you. We're about to kill some purple monkeys.
Yes, sir.
He looked around until his eyes came to rest on a nearby soldier.
He looks about your size.
Max nodded.
Don't wait for me. You can go faster by yourself. I'll meet you at the entrance.
David turned to go as Max snagged the indicated soldier.
Hey, what size are you?
The soldier hesitated.
But sir, I'm...
And I'm a lieutenant, halfwit. Now get out of that armor.
The Kenrassi's mounted plasma cannons exploded with white as the bear-sized war beasts tromped ahead. Their spider eyes darted around the battlefield as the Bachma atop them imprisoned their will. The forces of Eden wallowed in chaos. Platoons were split in half. Officers were separated from their squads. It was an onslaught. The battle raged in the halls of the research center. Beacon and Travis continually unloaded clips as Eden soldiers and scientists fired around them. Dostoevsky remained inside, behind the computers. As a bolt struck the wall next to him, Travis recoiled.
We can't hold him back much longer.
Dostoevsky shot up from the console.
Everyone, clear the door, now. Come inside.
The operatives did as ordered. The doors to confinement slid shut. Within seconds, Bachma stormed to the hall outside.
Not a bloody good distance. Now we're trapped.
Dostoevsky remained behind the console. The 2 of the empty cells whooshed open. He pointed to the scientists.
You 4, get in that cell.
They complied and rushed into the nearest one.
Everyone else, get in the other.
Dostoevsky worked the controls, and the scientists were sealed behind the glass barrier. Dostoevsky said to Beacon, Travis, and the soldiers from Eden,
stay in the open cell. I will remain here behind the controls. I will open the door to confinement and let the Bachma in. Then I will release the Necrolid.
You're going to do what?
That is why you will stay in your cell. Your cell will stay open, but you will be out of the Necrolid's path.
One of the soldiers stepped forward.
But that will leave you exposed to the Necrolid.
Yes, but the Bachma will be the ones moving. I feel lucky.
Beacon and the soldier looked doubtful. They backstepped into the open cell, and soon Dostoevsky was alone by the console.
Is everyone ready?
Inside its cell, the Necrolid rasped at the glass.
Opening the doors now.
The doors slid open. First the main doors, then the Necrolids. The Bachma charged inside. Dostoevsky ducked. It took a half second for the first Bachma to die. The Necrolid leapt from its cell into the Bachman's chest, and the warrior's face was shredded off. The creature swerved to the next Bachma, and it pounced atop him. Its claws dug into the Bachman's chest as it screamed. The aliens scrambled, some into confinement and some into the hallway. They trained their plasma rifles on the Necrolid as Dostoevsky rose from the console.
Engage!
Deacon, Travis, and the soldiers dashed from their cell into the room. Gunfire shattered the air. The fight for confinement was on. Atop the guard tower, Fox and Jaden rained sniper fire. Jaden picked off individual Bachma on the airstrip, while Fox focused on the Kenrassis and their riders. Six riders and four Kenrassis had fallen to him thus far. An explosion of white erupted against Fox's trigger hand, and he howled. His gun flipped from his grasp and flew off the tower's edge. He crumbled to the floor. Jaden spun around to face him.
Hey, man, you all right?
Fox clenched his teeth and rose to his knees. He clutched his right hand against his stomach. Jaden drew to his side.
Let me see it.
Fox trembled as he allowed his hand to be viewed. As soon as Jaden saw it, he flinched backward and twisted his mouth. Fox's right thumb and index finger were blown off. The rest of his hand was a blackened char of blood and bone. Jaden was on the comm immediately.
Medic!
Clark's voice crackled through.
What's wrong, Timmons?
Fox is down.
Can you move him?
Yes, sir. I can move him.
I'm sending Remington to assist. Bring him to the ground level.
Yes, sir. Come on, Fox. We're gonna get you downstairs.
David was en route to the infirmary's entrance when he bumped into Boris. The Russian tech was on his way back inside. He spoke before David could open his mouth.
Ghost is dead. He was killed in the explosion on the other side of the medical bay. It was the first place to get hit.
Beyond the infirmary, gun and plasma fire flooded the air. The ground vibrated. David breathed heavily.
Well, let's make sure nobody else dies.
Boris agreed.
I'm going out front. I think there are enough extra hands here to help now. You keep doing what you're doing. You be careful back here.
David said, shaking Boris's hand. Before Boris could respond, a third voice interjected.
Boris, what are you doing here, boy?
David and Boris looked back to see Max limping toward them in full combat armor.
Didn't you get the memo? Techs are all supposed to die this month.
Boris offered a weak smile.
Bad news for me.
David stepped to Max's side.
Cost you didn't make it.
Then we'll see him in hell,
Max said as he readied his sidearm. Scott was ready for Jaden and Fox when they arrived on the ground.
What happened?
Look at his hand.
Scott glanced at Fox's hand and recoiled.
Come on,
he said as he slid his arm around Fox's shoulder.
Let's get him to Barbara.
The Necrolid screamed as its plasma-riddled body fell into confinement. Bachma entrails lay splattered around it. The fight raged in every direction. It wasn't even close combat. It was no space combat. Every time Beacon dropped a Bachma, another was there to challenge him from behind. If not for his knack for fighting, he'd have been massacred. Confinement was overwhelmed. When Scott and Jaden returned to Clark's side, the airstrip battle was in full force. Plasma bolts seared past them as explosions rocked to the sky.
Fox is with Barbara,
Scott said.
He's going to be okay.
Clark flung a grenade toward a cluster of Bachma and ducked back as it detonated. Scott drew down as a plasma bolt ricocheted off the tower's corner. Everywhere he looked, plasma fire chased him. His body was covered in cuts and scorch marks, and he couldn't remember where any of them had come from. Scott spun around to see the captain collapse to the ground. A hole was torn through the hip of his armor.
Captain!
Clark's teeth grinded.
I'm bloody all right!
Before Scott could respond, Clark reached up and grabbed him by the collar. Scott was jerked to the ground. Behind him, a plasma bolt shattered the concrete where he had just stood. Scott scrambled to his feet as Clark pulled himself to cover. Jaden fell back to match them.
Where is Vavara?
Clark said as he tore off his helmet and pressed a hand to his hip. Scott thrust himself back behind the barricade. His eyes darted between everything around him. Jaden's sniper fire, Clark's hip, the hole in the concrete. Everything was happening too fast.
Over there, sir,
Jaden answered. Vavara was still positioned behind the tower, where Fox lay in her care.
Get over here,
Clark said. Scott snapped into focus and adjusted his comm.
Barbara, we need you behind the barricade.
But what about Fox?
Fox will bloody live. Drag yourself over here.
David and Max reached the infirmary's entrance. Eden soldiers were clustered around as several dozen Vakma held to the open area just beyond them. Dead and wounded were strewn in all directions. Assault rifles rattled the air. Max groaned as he sank to his knees and lifted his handgun. His finger assaulted the trigger. The battle for the infirmary had begun. Baranov unloaded his assault rifle toward the airstrip. He had lost count of the Vakma he dropped long ago, though he knew it was well over 30. An occasional plasma bolt streaked past him, though he remained protected behind the large chunk of debris. A bolt had caught the edge of his hip earlier, but the wound was easily ignored. He was about to release another burst when his eyes caught something on the battlefield. It was Galina. She was far ahead of him, in front of the hangars, where she struggled to drag a wounded operative to cover. As soon as he saw her, a plasma bolt hit her shoulder. She toppled to the ground. Baranov stood up.
Galia!
A second bolt clipped her side, and she tumbled again. As she cried out on the ground, Baranov's eyes narrowed.
Forgive me, Sveta.
He switched his assault rifle to one hand and charged toward the airstrip. As soon as he was open, a wave of plasma tracked him. He stumbled as a bolt caught his thigh, though he maintained his balance. He swung his assault rifle forward and held down the trigger. Two Vakma fell. Galina struggled to stand, then collapsed from her lack of strength.
Galia, I am coming.
Baranov plowed ahead until he reached her. He lowered his free arm to scoop her up and pressed her body against his. Galina mumbled incoherently. He scanned for the nearest cover, a charred Vindicator that sat unused alongside the main hangar. He fired his assault rifle behind him as he charged toward the fighter. Suddenly, he felt the small of his back burst open as a spray of blood splattered against the side of his neck. He stumbled, but his legs moved on. A second plasma bolt opened his thigh, followed by a third against his shoulder. His teeth clattered together as he crumbled to his knees. The Vindicator was right in front of him. His knees pressed forward as his internal organs ruptured. When the final plasma bolt struck the center of his back, he lurched forward in one last surge. Safety. They were behind the fighter. Galina was sheltered in his arms, and he toppled onto her. His gaze sunk to her as he coughed a spat of blood. His eyes glossed over. He lowered his head, and he breathed his final breath. The base was a war storm. Vakma pressed against the hangar and the surrounding structures. Mounted riders ripped holes through Eden's defenses as the blood-crazed Kanrasis tore apart everyone in their paths. Chaos covered the ground. The hangar was destroyed. The infirmary was aflame. The main building was on the verge of invasion. Novosibirsk was dying. Clark's team struggled against the tidal wave of Vakma forces. Plasma burned their nostrils as the bloody cries of death tortured their ears. Though his clips ran low, Scott launched volleys from behind the barricade. Jaden abandoned the futility of his sniper rifle and claimed a more versatile E-35. Clark fell under the care of Varvara, whose armor and skin were stained with blood. Everything shook. Everything flashed. Everything screamed. Then, the crisp static of Novosibirsk's loudspeakers cut through the chaos. Someone was on the channel. Beacon focused on the metal wall mount. Doctors and nurses looked up from their patients. Clark's team panned their gazes to the massive speaker towers. The voice they heard was clear and firm.
Attention all Novosibirsk operatives. This is General Ignatius Van Thorn.
Beacon's attention snapped back to the fight as a Vakma warrior swung a fist at his face. Beacon ducked to the floor and bashed a kick into the alien's chest.
Today the enemy comes to our doorstep. They feast in our halls.
David growled as a burst of plasma whizzed by his face. He reloaded his assault rifle as Max returned fire.
They died on our blood.
On the airstrip, the army of Vakma plowed toward the barricades. Scott slammed a new clip into his assault rifle, and he flung his last grenade into the fray.
For years, you have prepared for a day such as this. You have prepared for a day when they bring their battle to us.
We're not gonna hold them!
David said, as he raced back to find Max, his eyes froze on the silhouettes in the distance. Their shadowed horns gleamed in the darkness. Their crimson triangles shone with anger.
That day has finally come.
Scott was about to raise from the barricade to fire when Jaden clapped his hand onto his shoulder. Scott stopped and followed Jaden's rearward gaze. amassed in their wicked glory, a legion of nightmen thundered onto the field. The hair on the back of Scott's neck tingled.
Fear is for the foolish.
Dostoevsky's scowl twisted as he snapped a Bachma's neck.
Mercy is for the weak.
The nightmen charged at the airstrip. The Bachma forces hesitated.
We will stand as dead. We will fight as victors.
Scott regripped his assault rifle and steadied himself.
And today, we show the world that the machine has teeth.
Engage!
Clark said.
Engage with the offensive!
Scott rose from the barricade, and his assault rifle unleashed fire into the airstrip. Three Bachma fell before he rushed back to cover. Around to the hangar, the dark knights of the Nightman army charged into the Bachma stronghold. The Bachma advanced round to a halt as the Nightman stormed through their midst. In confinement, Dostoevsky came to life. The Bachma continued to press in, but the close-range combat of the Nightman and his defenders matched their surges with renewed energy. Down the halls of the research center, beyond the doors of confinement, the shouts of Nightman warriors emerged from the plasma fire.
They are coming!
Dostoevsky said as he crushed the Bachma's face with the butt of his rifle. Scott's trigger finger paused as he stared at the battlefield. Nightmen surrounded the hangar area. Their vicious guns took to the Bachma like missiles to flies. They were outnumbered by the aliens 5-1, but they refused to acknowledge it. All because of him, the god of Novosibirsk. All because of Thor. What monster had the general created?
Remington! Timmons!
Scott fell back as Clark called his name.
We have our orders.
As soon as Jaden had joined him, he continued.
Command wants us to free the airstrip's rear turret towers.
Turret towers? Scott looked at the airstrip where the towers came into view. They loomed in the distance, behind the fleet of no-boats. His attention returned to Clark.
If we can activate the turret defense system, we can rain hell on them.
He glanced at his wound, then his eyes sought Scott.
I cannot do this, and the 14th is scattered in every direction. I don't have it in me to ask you...
I can do it, sir.
You realize that the Bachma stand between us and the towers. The Canrasis, the no-boats, everything. Are you absolutely sure?
He felt it. Exactly what he felt in Chicago when Grammer told him about the failed strike on the carrier. Exactly what he felt when he earned the Golden Lion.
Positive, sir.
Barbara looked at Scott, and Clark nodded his head.
Show me why you deserve it, Remington.
Scott rose to his feet and scanned the battlefield. Clark was right. The turrets were behind everything. This wasn't a task that a worn-out old van would complete. Scott thought for a moment. A worn-out old van. His eyes flashed across the airstrip until he found them. The most beautiful things he had ever seen. Three grizzlies. Their nose-mounted chain guns blazed as they plowed through the fray.
Jaden, get ready to ride.
His gaze darted to Clark.
Sir, can you patch me through to one of those grizzlies?
The captain nodded.
I can.
What's going on?
Jaden asked as he knelt beside Scott.
You're about to see what you missed back in Chicago.
You're set.
Clark motioned to Scott.
They're on your frequency.
Scott cupped his helmet mic.
This is Scott Remington of the 14th. A comrade and I need to be picked up immediately on the southwest corner of the airstrip.
A voice crackled through a second later.
Negative 14th, we are not in a position to help you. There's another grizzly much closer. We'll direct your man stand.
That'll work. Thank you.
As the channel closed, Scott beckoned Jaden.
Come on,
he said as he motioned to the corner of the strip. Jaden rose to follow.
Wait.
Scott turned. The shout came from Barbara. Her gaze was settled on Jaden.
Be okay.
Jaden's eyes stayed on her for a moment before his lips curved into a grin.
Yes, ma'am.
Scott's mouth dropped. Jaden turned around and flashed him a smile. Scott laughed as Jaden strode past him.
Lead the way, Tex.
Outside confinement, the tat-tat of assault rifles grew closer. More Bachma fell. As victory was imminent, the final handful of aliens threw down their weapons, dropped to the floor, and raised their hands over their heads. Bloodstained nightmen charged into confinement from the hallway and trained their guns on the intruders. The research center was secure. The grizzly awaited Scott and Jaden at the corner. Scorch marks charred its hull, and its forward chain gun smelled of cinders. The top hatch swung open, and a giant of a man emerged. Harbinger.
Son of a gun!
Will, You ready to make some fireworks, big man?
William bellowed a laugh as Scott and Jaden climbed to the hatch.
Hell yes we are, friend.
William ducked down in the Grizzly as Scott and Jaden slid behind him. Plasma slammed against the APC's hull. The Grizzly shuddered. The entire 8th was inside. Their faces glistened in the cabin's red glow. Jaden dropped behind Scott as the hatch slammed shut.
Here's the plan, guys. We're taking one of the turret towers.
One's on the other end of the strip?
Those.
Derek Cole stared at Scott.
They're surrounded by no boats, at least two deep on every side.
Scott didn't respond. He shifted his eyes to Derek, and after a moment of pause, they both broke into smiles. William thrust his fists into the air.
Veteran realm!
A cheer bellowed from the 8th, and the Grizzly pulled away from the corner. The battle at the infirmary began to sway in Novosibirsk's favor. For the first time, human soldiers outnumbered the Bakhma. Max stood and signaled his hand.
Move! Move in on them!
The operatives charged from their barricades, a wave of bullets before them. The two forces collided, and a maelstrom of combat erupted. David swung the butt of his assault rifle against a Bakhma's face. Bullets ricocheted at his feet. He unloaded a flurry of bullets. It was a free-for-all. Grizzly's Russian driver announced to Scott,
"We are ready to go. The no-boats are ahead."
A two-deep row of no-boats stood between the Grizzly and the nearest turret tower. A throng of Bakhma fired at the APC. Scott knelt in the cabin.
"Once we break through, Jay and I are going to leave the Grizzly and take the tower. Cover us, then follow us. No one stays behind."
The 8th erupted with a yes, sir.
"Let's do it."
The engine roared in mechanical fury as the Grizzly's giant wheels churned forward. William snagged a support rail.
"It only works if he yelled, veteran world!"
The men cheered. Scott and Jaden held on. Their emotion was interrupted as a white streak emerged from the Bakhma. The driver turned to face them.
"Hold on, plasma missile."
Cabin braced. The driver floored the accelerator and spun the wheel right. The rocket rammed against the Grizzly's side. It left on two wheels. The cabin roared as a hole blew through the hull of the vehicle. Flames blazed up and the Grizzly skidded sideways as it crashed down to earth. The Grizzly grabbed concrete and lurched forward. As the soldiers reoriented themselves, they scanned the cabin. Nobody was dead. A defiant cheer arose, and the driver plunged the accelerator down.
"Do not shoot what you cannot stop, you purple monkeys."
Scott stood and wiped the soot from his face. The battlefield was plainly visible through the newly blown hole in the hull. Two of the larger men knelt beside it and propped rocket launchers against their shoulders. Rockets whizzed out as the Grizzly surged ahead. The no-boats were upon them, and the driver white-knuckled the wheel.
"Brace for collision!"
Grizzly's frame rocked as the forces of tonnage collided. Grips were jarred loose as operatives flew in all directions. The massive wheels churned. The engine screamed. The no-boats gave way. There was a burst of traction. Grizzly lurched ahead.
"We are through!"
The vehicle skidded to a sideways halt.
"Tower's here. Pop the top."
The top hatch burst open. Plasma bolts soared toward them. The nose-mounted chain gun erupted.
"Go!"
the driver said.
"Get out!"
Scott and Jaden scrambled out of the hatch. William followed. Scott bolted to the tower door, where a handprint pad secured the entrance, the security lockout. Scott placed his hand on it. The door swung in. Jaden and William hurried in as the rest of the 8th engaged behind them.
"Will, turret's yours. Go! Everyone, come on!"
Across the airfield, Clark issued orders through his comm to an orphaned platoon.
"The northeast end of the airstrip has become a stronghold. We've got to clear a path to it and reclaim some lost territory."
Barbara placed her hands on his chest to keep him still. He shoved them away and struggled to a stand.
"Captain, you must not."
"I can walk."
Above them, silver streaks tore across the sky. Clark swung his gaze upward. "Vindicators!"
"That's Leningrad!"
Eden operatives cheered as the fighters strafed the airstrip. The Bakhma scattered. Clark waved to the hangars.
"Rally up, everybody! We're taking back our base!"
Atop the turret tower, William slid into the 40-barreled chain gun's seat. A protective shield sealed around him, and the mechanical gears twisted to propel the turret up. The twin barrels discharged, and a wave of orange poured into the Bakhma from behind. The eruption from the turret was deafening. The rest of the 8th formed an offensive perimeter around the top of the tower. A barrage of heavy weapons fire rained down as the Bakhma dashed for cover. Jaden's eyes squinted as he fired his E-35. Scott Scott held suppression fire as the last of the 8th dove into the tower. He watched and attempted to count them as they bolted up the stairwell. Was that everyone? Yes, it was. He whacked his hand over the inner print sensor and it acknowledged him. Security lockout activated. He heaved the door shut.
It stopped within an inch of the frame. Oh no.
The door swung back open. Plasma streamed in. Scott dove for the floor. As he rolled over onto his back, a pair of Fakma rushed into the tower.
Shut the door.
He had to shut the door. His legs flexed and he kicked the metal door frame. It slammed closed. The Fakma turned to face him. Scott knew he was in trouble the moment he saw them. One was normal, but one was huge. Muscles flexed in its arms and legs. Even its neck bulged. The Fakma's opaque eyes shrunk to slits as he glared at Scott. He attacked. Scott dove. Plasma jetted behind him. Scott rolled over his assault rifle and hit the trigger. Blood misted the air, and the smaller Fakma fell. Scott scrambled to his feet. The muscled Fakma took aim. There was nothing Scott could do. The Fakma's plasma rifle fired in front of him, and Scott stood petrified as the bolt flashed his way.
Nicole. She was going to get a letter. Not an explanation. Not a final chance to say goodbye. A letter. Her fiancé was dead.
No. Scott braced up his rifle. The plasma bolt smashed into it. The gun shattered, and he was thrown backward. The air fizzed as his vision whitened, then returned. He clenched his teeth and looked down at his rifle. It was destroyed. A hole was charred through his armor. But that was it. He was still alive. He flickered his gaze up. The barrel of a plasma rifle hovered point blank in front of his face. Scott crossed his eyes to focus on the weapon before he looked beyond it. The lifeless, cold expression of the muscled Fakma awaited him. The Fakma's slit eyes gleamed as he placed his finger on the trigger. The Fakma blinked. Scott blinked. The Fakma looked at his gun, and his mouth dropped open. Dive! Scott lunged into the Fakma's chest, and the two fighters tumbled backward. Scott felt himself being thrust upward, and the next thing he knew, he was flying through the air. His back hit the far wall upside down. As he tried to regain his footing, a fist hooked across his face. His vision blackened, and he stumbled sideways. Something pounded against his sternum. He buckled over. Before he could react, a foot crashed into his chest and knocked him backward. When Scott landed, his mouth hung slack-jawed. His eyes watered. He could feel blood trickling down to his lips. Above him, the Fakma towered. This was not a fight the human was meant to win. Everything swung in the Bachma's favor, except for one minor detail. Scott's handgun. It was still fastened at his side. Without a second of hesitation, he flipped it out of its holster and trained it up. The Fakma froze. Scott staggered to his feet. The handgun stayed out.
Do you understand me?
The Fakma looked puzzled.
Do you understand me?
What was that word? Scott's mind raced as the gun-checked Fakma stared back at him in confusion.
Grashna! That was it.
The Fakma word for self-surrender.
Grashna!
Scott said emphatically. He motioned his handgun to the ground. The Bakma's eyes grew wide with understanding.
Grashna!
It lifted its hands above its head and sunk to a knee. Jaden's comm crackled as Scott spoke.
Jay, I've got a prisoner down here.
Jaden stopped firing.
You got a what?
Two Fakma slipped through. I don't know if you heard the gunshots or not.
Jaden shook his head.
I didn't even know you were still down there. I can't hear nothing up here.
Above him, the turret's blasts deafened the tower. Jaden covered his helmet comm with a hand.
Well, I got a live one. He looks important.
How do you know?
I don't know. They all look important.
Nah, man, we got it. We got too many people up here already.
All right. I'll be down here then.
Okay, be careful.
You too.
Clark's eyes peeled across the airstrip where the twin-barreled turrets roared in anger. For the first time, Fakma fell into disorganized chaos. Clark stared at the turrets and smiled. Remington had done it. He'd freed the tower. He peered skyward as a pair of Vindicators strafed the no-boats. Near the hangars, Dostoevsky, Beacon, and Travis rejoined the fight. Close behind them were David and Max. Eden forces poured into the battlefield to join the Nightmen already there. Captains and their platoons, amalgamations of broken units, and any others able to fight rallied together in full force. Clark swung up his assault rifle as a pair of riderless Conrassis tromped down the strip. They chattered shrilly as their spider eyes passed from one soldier to the next. Bullets pierced through their fur, and their bodies stuttered in mid-gallop.
Surround and concentrate!
He dropped awkwardly to one knee and opened fire. It took several seconds of yanking the trigger before the gun's bullets sank into one of the beast's heads. It roared, reared on its hind legs, and toppled over. The second Conrassi shook as bullets peppered it. It fell toward the nearest Eden soldier, where its jaws, filled with three rows of teeth, clamped across the man's torso. The soldier screamed as his body was torn in half. Bullets poured into the beast's flesh until it lurched forward and landed neck first onto the ground. Its pale blue tongue slipped from its mouth, and it fell still. The Fachma were decimated. Eden soldiers stormed to the airstrip. Nightmen warriors fortified the hangar. Vindicator fighters assaulted the no-boats. From the turret tower, Jaden smiled softly. It was almost over. As the last of the Bachma drew within close combat range, gunfire from assault rifles rained at them in torrents. The turret towers held their fire. The Vindicators ceased their strafes. As human forces broke through the barrier of no-boats, the Bachma that remained threw down their weapons and lifted their hands. Full surrender. The battle was won. The twin turrets whirled to a stop, and William relaxed. Beneath him, Jaden set down his weapon for the first time. The whole of the Eighth withdrew their guns and either sank to their knees or sat back. Only Jaden rose to his feet to overlook the battlefield. It was chaos. Buildings flamed. Bodies littered the ground. Screams shattered the air. The scope of the damage was surreal. It was too vast to be understood. When Scott heard Russian voices outside, he knew it was safe to open the tower. His gun remained on the Bachma as he stepped back and placed a hand blindly on the security sensor. The door whisked open and a trio of nightmen hustled in. They recoiled as they saw the Bachma, readied their assault rifles to fire, then paused. The alien was no threat. Scott lowered his handgun and released an enormous breath. He looked at the Bachma, whose stare met his. For several seconds, the Bachma did nothing, until it offered Scott a half frown and a nod. Scott didn't know how to respond. The gesture was unexpectedly human. He watched the Bachma for several moments before he returned a solemn nod of his own, turned to the tower door, and stepped out. Clark holstered his pistol and removed his helmet. It clunked to the ground as he brushed his hand through his sweat-streaked hair. Cinders popped as the hangars burned, and the smell of charred flesh hung over the airstrip. David and Max fell to the ground, one exhausted and the other injured. Both men lay silent. Dostoevsky, Beacon, and Travis were not far, and soon joined their comrades. They stared at one another as the efforts of security began to take place around them. As Clark limped past the hangar, he found Baranov. He lay slumped on the ground, with holes gaping across his armor and back. His body was destroyed. For several seconds, Clark simply stared. There was nothing else he could do. Then he blinked. Something else was there. Something was underneath him. It was a body. Clark quickened his stumbling pace and knelt beside the commander. He strained to lift Baranov's corpse to see who it was. Galina. She was curled into a ball on the concrete. She was alive. Her breaths were small, but they were there. They were stable.
I need a medic! Over here!
He drew his focus back to Galina, rolling Baranov over to set her free. As Scott and Jaden returned to the hangars, Scott allowed himself a careful sweep of the airstrip. Debris and bodies were scattered. Blood was everywhere. In the aftermath of the gruesome battle, he realized the reality of the situation. Despite the victory, Novosibirsk had been hit hard. Harder than any base had been hit before. He saw David immediately. His former roommate was bloodstained and bruised, but he was still alive. He looked so tired. Everyone did. Scott knelt on the ground and covered his eyes with his hands. He ran his fingers back through his hair, and looked around again. Every operative was dirty, and most had some degree of injury. Few had made it through unscathed. Scott closed his eyes and thought a prayer. It was the only appropriate one that he knew.
Thank you for keeping me alive.
He opened his eyes and, with great effort, forced himself up.
I'll tell you what, Jay.
He looked pointedly at the Texan. Jaden stood meters from him, his arms wrapped around the small of Varvara's back as the two stood locked in embrace. Varvara's lips caressed Jaden's mouth as her arms slid around the back of his neck. Taken aback, Scott returned his attention to the airstrip.
Go get her, cowboy.
He laughed to himself and returned to his teammates. The task of collection now faced them. Little was spoken as word of the dead circulated, at which point they sought out the corpses. Once the bodies were claimed, there was nothing else to do. Those who could retire did so to the relative quiet of Room 14, where the remainder of the night was spent in restless slumber.